Why do you say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting live from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California, this is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael. And today you're tuning in to Spell It Out, Magic, Reflections, and Shadows, where I take a topic and I run with it. Today I'm going to be talking about something dear to my heart, the benefits of keeping a dream journal, which I think I first started when I was 20 years old. But before we get started, Michael has a few announcements.
Hi, everybody, and sorry we've been having so many tech issues lately that have been impacting the show, but we're working hard to get through them all, and hopefully today will go smooth. We've got some great guests coming up. Next week, of course, is Valentine's Day, and to celebrate, we have our good friend, witchcraft practitioner Renee Starr, and she'll be doing a show on love potions. Then we have Dan Moore coming back. We have Holly Lindblom coming back. We've got all kinds of cool guests that we're working on for the months ahead, so stick with us, and hopefully we will get this stream back up and running smoothly. You can get all the information on our website, sixthsensesociety.com, S-I-X-T-H, all spelled out. And while you're there, if you can afford to, buy us a coffee on Ko-Fi. It helps us a little bit with our production costs and fixing some of our tech issues, you know, the money involved with that. But nonetheless, great time, and we love all you guys, and we're just really happy to have you here. So I'm not going to take up too much time today, so I'm going to kick it back to you, Krista, because I know you have a lot to cover. So take it away, Krista.
Great. Thank you, Michael. Well, when I was a very little girl, I had two really memorable dreams, and I think I was only three or four, and I was going to share one of them was this dream with this floating white lady in a graveyard scene, and it was very spooky and eerie, and she sort of reaches her hand out to touch mine, and I feel like in the dream I want to touch her hand, and if I do, I feel for some reason I'll die, and so I didn't touch her hand, but it remained that image in my mind, and I've always had really powerful dreams, both disturbing and good dreams. And my mother did too, who didn't really believe a lot in psychic things on the outside, but had a lot of psychic experiences. And sometimes she'd share her dreams with us, and they were amazing, like incredible dreams, even much more than mine even. So I think it might be a little genetic sometimes when you're naturally disposed to dreaming, though all of us dream. Some people have difficulty recalling dreams, and there are some ways you can do it, including taking, I think it's either vitamin B12 or 6. And even sometimes if you remember a fragment, I read in a book once where a person could only remember a fragment, but it gave her some insight because of the way they handled the fragment. So that's, you know, I've always been interested in dreams, even before any of the other metaphysical things. And I certainly also had my share of nightmares as a child. But I wanted to start out with some basic ideas of what are the actual benefits of keeping a dream journal. And so I thought about it, and there were, you know, about roughly six that I came up with that break down into different things. So the most maybe well-known one would be the psychological benefit of working with dreams. And that can be used whether you're a Jungian analyst or a different kind of psychologist and counseling people. You can use the dream world to help people understand their psyche, to become more aware of their wounds and to heal them, because the dreams will also show when you're doing healing work. What's interesting about dreams is they actually show your real progress. It's one of the few areas, for the most part, where you don't lie to yourself. And I found that to be quite true. So in the waking world, my ego might say, well, I'm actually really improving, and maybe I'm not. The dream world will be honest with you. So it's one thing. So if you go the psychological route, which I don't do as much, even though I like to read about the ideas psychologically, because one of the things from my experience, the dream world is many layered. And it has multiple realities, sometimes which you can pull from one dream. So for example, I could look at a dream psychologically, but maybe within the dream, there's some information that's psychic as well, or maybe there's a spiritual message in the dream as well. So they're like these layers to dreams, though sometimes you will get sort of a purely psychological dream and a purely spiritual dream, but most of the time I feel like they're these layers. I also read this one book, it was really interesting, years ago, where they talk about the dream world being a land in and of itself that we're exploring, and we have to learn the language of dreams. And I loved it. It really fits, because the language of dreams is probably the most difficult to decipher, whether it's because of the symbolism, or dreams are also good with puns, like they use puns a lot. But you have to learn the language of symbols in a way that you can become fluent and you can make it work for you. But one of the things I find is the dream world will definitely respond to you. If you work with it, you'll get more information. So then there's also another benefit, as I sort of mentioned, is psychic information. And there are people in the metaphysical world that believe that you are going to the astral plane every time you dream, pretty much, except for health dreams, and that you meet real people, you meet real teachers. And I have found that to be somewhat true. In fact, it is true. I have found that not even just myself, I've had people say they've seen someone in the dream, had a real conversation with them. And they've also gotten information, sometimes practical. When you read dream books, a lot of times you'll read the scary psychic things, but there's also very simple psychic information you might get. One of my favorite psychic dreams I had was when we first moved out to Venice, California, we could not find a place that was affordable. And that was in 1998. Can you imagine? It was way more affordable now. But we were pretty broke. We had no credit card. I had bad credit. Michael had no credit, I think. And anyway, he was Canadian. And I started looking through the newspaper, and couldn't find a place that we could afford that was nice. And so then one night I had this dream, and I had a dream with sharks in it. And of course, you know, being on California coast, you know, you would think, okay, I'm going to have a dream about a shark. But it was a very shamanistic dream. And I remembered it. It was actually a very positive dream. And I wrote it down. And then the next day I had this interview. I was so desperate for work that I went in and I interviewed for this job doing petition, getting signature for petitions, because I needed money right away. And when I went in to interview, there was the shark copy paper. And I remember thinking like, okay, that's an odd coincidence. And I thought, I'm taking the job. So I took the job. And what happened was we met somebody through that job who had a room for rent at Lincoln Place that we could totally afford. It was like really cheap. And there's a whole story behind that, but we got into Venice that way. And it was because of that dream. I didn't know what else to do because I just couldn't find a place. And it happened all really quickly. So you can really get psychic information. And I know that the Edgar Cayce believes that a lot of our important future is first seen in the dream world so that you can change things or be aware of it. And so that you can use it for practical things. And so that's, you know, like I said, a lot of times you'll read stories of the sort of scary psychic stories, which are out there for sure. But you can also use it just on a regular basis, day to day, for information that you need. A third use of dreams, and a good reason to keep a dream journal as a result, is the spiritual aspect. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, it's one of the places where you cannot fake it. You will, you know, find out whether or not you're really spiritually growing through the dream world. So the Ekankar people, they really use dreams a lot on a regular basis as a spiritual way of evolving, I think. And so I read the book Spiritual Dreaming, and I found it to be really, really helpful. So one of the things is when you look for spiritual information that seems very obvious, is that you want to look for what was happening that day when you had that dream. And you can tell, like, one, so I, and there's a lot more in that book that's really interesting and good about working with spiritual dreams, including, you know, these meditations when you go to sleep and you can visualize going into these beautiful, I think there's one, there's like this beautiful mountain you go into so you feel protected. And so there's lots of things like that. But what I found really accurate was at the time I was working on some sort of my inner critic I felt was getting too strong again. And I had been making some progress, you know, in it. I'd been working at it for over a year spiritually. And I had this amazing dream with music and light. And according to Ekinkar, in the book, they say that music and light can be God in your dreams. And it's those, you know, those dreams where you wake up feeling like amazing, and they don't happen every day, at least for me. So then I was like, wow, making progress. But then after that, I started regressing again. And I had the funniest dream where my mouth was like closed and it was all stitched up. And I thought, oh no, I'm going backwards. But I felt it was really helpful, actually, that my dream was telling me, hey, Krista, you're starting to slip. We don't want you to do that. So even though I wasn't speaking critical things outwardly, I still was being that way. And I got the message very clearly, you know. So I thought that was a really interesting way to use dreams right away, because, you know, a lot of people listen to the show are people that are interested in spirituality and consciousness and want to grow. Another way, which has been, dreams have been used throughout the centuries, is creatively. And you can, first of all, you can use them yourself. So one of the things I have found going back to some of my old dream journals, like I have one of my favorite periods was I have this sort of, I think it's like 8.5 by 11. I'm going to show people that can see it, but it's one of these ones where it kind of flips open a notebook, a spiral notebook. So it's really easy to use, which I really recommend this style. And I went through a period where I titled my dreams, and it's a recommendation by a lot of people in the dream world. And some of the titles are really like titles for a short story, I thought. And some of the dreams could be aspects of a short story. And I realized there's just a lot of like creative information in that way, since I'm a writer, that I just hadn't considered using before. Having said that, there's actually more famous dreams about people that solved creative problems through dreaming. One was the invention of the sewing needle. There's a really cool story about the dream that the fellow had to figure out what kind of needle to use in the machine. And then there are some famous stories about poems and songs that come in dreams and people remember them. So there, it's a really great creative thing. And also, if you're a painter, some of the imagery in dreams are, it's so bizarre and interesting, or even just these little strange twists that you can, you know, paint. I've had some dreams where I really wish I was a painter, because they were, it was just such an amazing image in the dream. And that's another thing that you can use it for. I think there's plenty of ways that you can creatively use it, a dream. And then, of course, you can use it magically, which I have done by putting the tarot cards under my pillow at night and trying to get information about it. I don't know. I've never really tried to do something more formal magically, but I think you probably could if you really wanted to. And there, I know there in the Tibetan Buddhism, there are there's sort of dream practices, yogic dream practices. So that kind of has a magical application too. And then finally, the sixth one I wanted to mention, which is really, really important, one of the benefits of keeping a dream journal is it can be, you can find health advice and health warnings in the dreams. And there's some really amazing stories about people that have had dreams of a health issue way before there was any signs of it, and they were able to curtail it. I remember reading in one of Robert Moss's books, he's got a lot of great books on dreams. There was a woman that I believe she opened up a purse and it had this rotting meat in it. And she knew that this related to, I think, her ovaries or uterus or something. And she, sure enough, she had the beginnings of cancer, but because it was so early, they caught it and she was fine. And she just understood from the dream in her own way that what it was about. And then there's also a famous dream about Freud in the beginning of Robert Moss's book, The Secret History of Dreaming, that was one of his breakthrough dreams on analysis. I think it might be called the Irma dream. I'm not quite sure. It is named after a girl or a female, but even though Freud did not appreciate the psychic aspect of the dream, when you read the detail of the dream, it's like this incredible medical dream where somebody's examining the insides of his throat and there's, I think, some growths in there. It's all very medical. And Freud was smoking cigars and doing cocaine. And sure enough, like 15 years later, he got cancer of the throat and all these health issues, right, that he could have avoided. And he never thought that it could be his body telling him, hey, dude, it's already not a good idea what you're doing. And it's just amazing that, you know, you have that as evidence because, you know, he wrote his dreams down. And certainly I'm not saying that the psychological implications of dreams aren't important as well. I just think dreams can give you all kinds of information. So those are some of the benefits of keeping a dream. I did bring in, you know, I brought in like four different kinds of dream journals I've had. And you can get those like little hard-covered pretty journals that are, I don't know, what are they, 5x7? This is an amethyst one. But they're not really great, honestly, for keeping the dreams because of the, I find that the spiral notebooks are better. They're easier to open. And as I said, I have now gone to basically wanting sort of the bigger notebooks. My favorite style is Focus Notes. And as you can see, it's one of those spiral ones that sort of opens up at the top. And what's cool about it is on the side, it has like a little margin. And you can see that, you know, you can write little notes on the margin. And it's really good if you want to actually go back and analyze your dreams and work with your dreams, which is probably, anyone that keeps dream journals knows, it's one of the most challenging things is how many dreams can I actually analyze? It takes time. Sometimes when you start recalling dreams at night, you'll start recalling three or four. And I have found there are periods that I have more time to do the dream work than other times. Or sometimes if it's just a really strong dream, I will write it down because I really like it. So you can also do it that way. So I would say that there's no right or wrong with that. But I everyone that does dream journaling, they do talk about, you know, keeping the journal next to you at night and writing it down in the morning. I don't always do that, but I do try to write notes. So if I can't write the whole dream, I'll write a couple of notes because it really can fade. There are people that like to record. I've never liked that because I you know, at one point I just thought it was too much work. And now that I have Michael, I don't want to wake anybody up, you know, talking when into my phone. But it is a good way to do it if you want to just get up and kind of record the dream. Sometimes too, you wake up in the middle of the night, and this is something I honestly never do, and I should. I have woken up in the middle of the night with a cool dream, and I haven't written it down and forgotten it, but you probably should, because you probably will forget it. At least my experience it is. And the other thing is that as far as keeping journals, there are a lot of online journal programs out there, and I did try one once thinking it would help me with organization. And I don't know, there's just something about it that was too mechanical for me. And I write articles on computers. I'm not against computers, but I feel for me, the act of writing in a dream journal, unless of course you have trouble with your handwriting, you don't have good handwriting, or you just have some issues and you need to type, that's fine. But I would say I would at least keep some of your dreams using your, you know, handwriting. There's something about it that's really important for me and that it works. And I'm much more interested in keeping the dream journal if I do that than when I tried one of those online ones. But, you know, some of the younger people might really like it. And there's some, it looks like there's some very cool ones out there. You'll just have to kind of Google and find out. So that's some of the sort of, you know, tips about keeping the dream journals. I did want to mention something. I might go through in more detail some aspects of dream journaling this year. I've been thinking about it in terms of a theme. Maybe I'll do some of this year about working with your dreams and bringing in some ideas about it. But one thing I came across that I had forgotten and why I was titling my dreams in that one dream journal, which was in, I think it was in the 90s I did it. I came across this technique by Cindy Russell, and she had at the time a website, dreamtree.com. I either have written that down wrong or it was a different, or it's gone, because now when I looked at that, it was not a dream site. But anyway, her name is Cindy Russell, and she had this method for interpreting dreams called TTAQ. T is for title, T, and the next T is for theme, A is for effect, and Q is for question. So T is for title, just like it sounds. You create a title for your dream, and it's the point is to make it like a short story. So it's also both an easy reference and it gives you the main theme of the dream. This is a very common idea. I've read in at least two or three other dream books that you want to have a short, either a short sentence or a title to remember the dream, but also it does help you start to organize it when you sit down. And it can be a little challenging because some dreams are very disjointed to find out what the main dream is, but theme is. So don't worry about it. Just come up with the best title you can. And then the theme, like a short phrase that describes the topic of your dream. Again, that sounds redundant, but not necessarily. Again, it's helping you to really hone into what is the essence of the dream. And in fact, I know that Kevin Tedeschi, who's an Edgar Cayce person, he has that as his number one thing, is that you find the essential theme of the dream. And he has a YouTube show with this in it, which I recommend if you just Google his name. And the last name is spelled Tedeschi. It's a great one because he gives an example of how he works out a dream with about this boy had that's amazing. Now, he's really, really quick, and I don't think, you know, he's done thousands and thousands of dreams. So I have to admit, finding the theme and writing a sentence, it's like doing a log line for a screenplay, if anyone has done that. It is really difficult at first. But I just do the best you can, because again, the more you work with the dream, it's helping you to do that. And then A, effect. Effect meaning the description of the emotional tone or impact of the dream. And this can change the meaning entirely. And this is so true. I've had dreams where I've had some kind of strange, like surgery or some, I have this common theme where something's being drawn out of the bottom of my foot and I wake up feeling great. And I can see it's a healing dream. And so it's really, the images can be sometimes weird or disturbing, and it can be actually a very positive feeling that you have, or opposite. You can have like an image that looks really, you know, fine, but you're scared by it, and or you're upset or angry. So I totally agree with the emotional, what's going on emotionally with you and the effect of the dream. And this last point, I have to admit, I never really did much with it. And I think maybe it's my mistake. Question every dream. And I don't know what she means by that, because I didn't do that part. And I thought, okay, question every dream. So I'm going to have to think about that too before I can tell you how to use it. But I'm going to put it out there for you. I think even if you just did those top three, I think that's a lot of work and you'll find it's really helpful. And I have to admit, one of the things about going back and quickly looking through the journals where I had the titles, you can see then you're running themes. Like you might have a year where you're dreaming a lot about elevators, or you have new archetypal characters come in. That happens to me sometimes. Suddenly I'm dreaming about a new kind of monster, and meaning that monster's not always scary in my dreams, by the way. So it's interesting when you have those titles, you can go back really quickly and see, you know, what was that period about. And another benefit of keeping dream journals, even if you're not doing it every year, is you can see, like in the magical journals similar to them, you can see where you are progressing or growing as a person by what kind of themes and dreams that you're having overall. And so it's fascinating that way. And I think it's something that, you know, if people just even try for a year, it would be a good thing. But I would say just don't feel like you have to be perfect about it, because honestly, there are times where months and months I don't do a dream journal. Now, one of the problems I came across, and I'm still trying to work it out, is that because dreams can really reflect what's going on immediately in your life sometimes, having a separate dream journal, it's harder to see if you keep a journal like I do, the two playing out together. So I'm trying to think of a way that maybe I can have both in the same book, but I haven't quite succeeded. I've lately just been putting my dreams in my journal, but then they get lost a little bit. When you have a dream journal that's separate, you can see them more easily. So I don't have a solution other than saying that there can be some benefit if you keep a separate journal like I do, to have them all in one place. I think maybe what I might try is copying relevant dreams out from my journal for each year, and maybe just, you know, not all of them, but the ones that seem very relevant. So that way they won't get lost in the mix, so to speak. The other thing I wanted to mention that's kind of cool about dreaming, and maybe this is not, you don't even have to have a dream journal for this, is that there's this idea, one of the reasons I don't like just psychological interpretations of dreams is because they can be a little bit like know-it-all-y, like, you know, all dreams are only about yourself. And I said, well, that's actually not true. My experience, I have had shared dreams with people. I've had it with Michael, who doesn't remember his dreams that often, but sometimes we've woken up and I've told him my dream and he's had a very similar dream. It's something in his own style and words. And I'd forgotten one I had in again, when I first was with him, I had this dream about developing my own tarot deck. And in the dream, I was trying to decide if I wanted to do it. And then he woke up and said he'd had this amazing dream about Kabbalah. And that was right around the time I think we were getting closer to, I think we just started studying the Kabbalah. So he'd had a very similar kind of dream. And that happened to me more than once with him. And I've also heard of people that have met and seen each other in dreams. And I know they're not making it up. I also once had a friend stay over for a while. And she was a very artistic person, going through a rough time, and I would sometimes share my dreams with her, and I'd say, I have no idea why I had that dream. She goes, oh, I know what that means. That's my dream. And that was kind of crazy, because I wouldn't have thought that, but we were sleeping close. She was in the room next door, and I think that people can share dreams just like you would other energies. So I don't think a dream is always about yourself, even though you probably can use a lot of dreams as representing different parts of you. So let's say I dream about Michael, I can say, well, what does Michael mean to me? And that's that part of me. And I think there can be something useful, but I personally haven't had experiences where I think it's really, I'm connecting to that person, whoever they are. And that goes back to, you know, the original idea in the show, of the idea we travel to the astral plane often. I think you can go to other realms, other in the dream world. And I think the really evolved spiritual people and really evolved shamans, I think they can explore other realms consciously in dreams. And at some point, we'll start mapping the landscape of dreams. I mean, I know they're working on consciousness now, but it'd be really cool to try to map the land of dreams, because I think it's a very broad and incredible place. And sometimes scary. I've had some terrains I've been in that were extremely frightening. Like, I cannot tell you how scary they were, and very strange and dark. And I have no idea what world I was in, because they didn't look anything like the human world. Or so I think there's a lot more everyone. I personally think if you're into dreams, you'll eventually get open to these possibilities, because the dream world will sort of take you there. And even if you can't admit it publicly, like maybe some people can't because it's against their reputation and their job, I think privately you will begin to acknowledge it. Like I know Carl Jung did. There's some amazing stories about when he first was listening to some of his clients with their dreams, and then he started having these dreams too, that they were really reflecting World War II coming in. And he only realized it afterwards, that the imagery and that his patients were picking up on it and he was picking up on it. And so that idea of really maybe paying attention to the collective dreams of people can help us steer away from certain things and go towards it. And I hope someday we'll take it a little more seriously. So I'm running a little bit out of time now. I'm going to probably spend more time this year going through some dream methods. And I hope this gets you going. If you don't keep a dream journal, and if you do, I hope it helps you a little bit to keep going, because like I said, it can be sometimes a little overwhelming to figure out how to use them. But any way you use them, even if it's a small way, your subconscious will respond and give you more information. So thank you for tuning in today. Join us next time as we continue to explore the esoteric and the obscure together.